we spent yesterday trying to understand a little bit better the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos that opens up the third parak of Sukkah about why exactly is a little bit Yovish puzzle. So according to Rashi, this is part of the general, the Din Klali of Yidu Mitzvah. According to Tosfos, it's a Din Prati that's derived Dafka for the Din of Hadar, Lulav compared to Esther and Kesef, because the Gemara seems to apply a little bit later on. So we said that there is a Gemara Maseches Gittin that has to be understood, Bein Lefi Rashi, Bein Lefi Tosfos. We spent a lot of time talking about that Gemara. There's one or two more Nakudas, so I just wanted to finish up with that Gemara before we move on to continue to understand a little bit better what Shittas Rashi is all about. So just to chazer just for a moment, we had the Gemara Gittin, the Chaf, where the Gemara presented a Machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. If a person made a mistake when he wrote the Shem Hashem in the Sefer Torah, and now he wants to touch it up by just going over it again, Lishma, the first time he wrote it was Shalom Lishma, now he's writing it Lishma, so does that work or not? So the Gemara had two very, very different versions as to what the Machlekes was all about. So Rav Chisda understood that the Machlekes was a Machlekes Zinuchas Ksav Agav Iksav, and therefore Rav Chisda extrapolated from here to Chis Gittin, and a whole Chagaj in terms of Chis Ksiva, that was the Nekudas of Machlekes. And it's a very fascinating Machlekes going to Rav Chisda when you learn Masechah Shabbos, Perkabon, you have to talk about it, learn the Sechah Bergit, you have to talk about it, but that's not really our sugya. Our sugi were much more interested in the second approach of the Gemara, Rachav and Yaakov's understanding that the Nekudas of Machlokes was not really about Ksav Agav Iksav. In terms of Hilchos Ksav Agav Iksav, we can accept such a Sefer Torah because the second Ksav is meaningful because it's accomplishing something, it's adding a tikkun to the first Ksav. So in terms of Ksav Agav Iksav issues we're comfortable with, the issue that Rav Achav and Yaakov saw in the Machlokes that Tanoim was a whole other issue, namely, is this a nice Sefer Torah? Is this going to be very pretty? Is this going to be the standards of Zekelim Yanveyu? So the Chacham said, no, Ein Hashem Inam Bukhar. And Rav Yehuda apparently said, yes. So we raised the question yesterday, well, what do you mean? No. What do you mean the question of the Chacham, no? How no is no? How bad is bad? How not acceptable is not acceptable? So the Chayr, according to Rashi and Tosfos, the Gemara and Git means something very, very different. According to Rashi, the Gemara potentially means that it's possible b'di'evid, mid-deraisa, zekelim v'veil pashas b'shalach, it's a real psul deraisa. Whereas according to Tosfos, yesh, meh, psul deraisa, come on, hid the mitzvah is not possible. You don't think hid the mitzvah being possible. When the Chacham said, amen, Hashem, and amavcha, that just doesn't look very nice, it's not a good din l'chadchila, but it's not really possible. So that's how we left off yesterday with that simple reading of the Gemara, that the Bein Rashi, Bein Tosfos, the Gemara means something very, very different. According to Rashi, it means possible, mikra din. According to Tosfos, the chadchila. So there is a comment of the Chassam Sofer in his Chidushim in Maseches Gittin, where he has a fascinating insight into this sugya. The Chassam Sofer, I think we may have quoted the Chassam Sofer earlier this year, I don't remember anymore. The Chassam Sofer has a comment that he thinks that Bein the Rashi, Bein the Tosfos, this Sefer Torah is mamish posel, even if the reason for the Chabim is hid the mitzvah. How could that be? I shit is a Tosfos, Yaduam, a first of a Bez and Sukkah, based on Yidalaf and Yidalaf and Bez and Sekha Sukkah. According to Tosfos, hid the mitzvah never posels. Hid the mitzvah doesn't pass with the Eved by Eged. Hid the mitzvah doesn't pass with the Eved by Lulav Yovesh. So according to Tosfos, that hid the mitzvah is just not a poisel. So how in the world could the Chassam Sofer say by Sefer Torah it's posel? My high, what's the difference between Sefer Torah and all other mitzvahs? Do I know? I think we like said this in passing earlier this year. Maybe not. Anyone have any idea? My high, man is down a Sefer Torah from all other mitzvahs. Why should Sefer Torah be a psul b'di'evid, almost like a din prati, in contrast to all other mitzvahs? What's the case of Sefer Torah? Wherein is the lack of hiddur? In what? In the Sivas Hashem. And therefore? Oh, this is what we would call, I don't mean this in the slightest bit of a zilz, we call it like a kshutpshat. So the Sefer says, Zek Keli V'Yanveyu means there's a din of hid the mitzvah in Shem Hashem. That's a vada din deraisa. That was never a question. Everybody agrees that Zek Keli V'Yanveyu in the Shem Hashem gufa, which what the pasuk's talking about, a vada that's ma'akib b'di'evit, a vada that's a psul deraisa, a vada that's a problem, even according to Tosfos. The Machlekes Rashi in Tosfos was, can we extrapolate from that din, the arais of hidden mitzvah within the Shem Hashem and say, that applies to a lulav, that applies to this, that applies to that, applies to a sukkah, the tithis. So that's where Rashi takes his parted ways. But within, licked within the Shem Hashem is not written by hidur, ain't the lack of hidden gold be zed. Mamr zed, the kaim pshut the kamashmal, zed kelev yanveyu. It's an interesting shot from the Chassam Sofer. It's a collector's item from the Chassam Sofer and getting in Daf Chof. But like I said, let's get back to our story. According to Rashi, there's something very, very fundamental that's taking place in Gittin Daf Chof. There's a major machlokes ha-tanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about can we disqualify a Sefer Torah because of lack of Hidda Mitzvah. According to Tosfos, we're not even sure it's possible, we're not even sure we followed this some Sefer, but according to Rashi, because Rashi is the bulk of our sugya, the mainstay of our sugya right now is Rashi. According to Rashi, state in the Chofam and Alpha Mesech is Gittin, that according to the Chacham, the Sefer Torah is possible, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Sefer Torah is okay. Does that send us thinking a little bit? The wheels in our minds and our brains starting to turn a little bit. Listen to those names. Rabbi Yehuda against the Chachamim. The Chachamim are the big believers of Hidda Mitzvah. They passel chetzes even with the evidence of Hidda Mitzvah. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I'm not so worried about Hidda Mitzvah. Sefer Torah doesn't look so great, big deal, but still kosher. Where else do we find such a lishitasam between Rabbi Yehuda and everybody else? Back where? By golly, Sukkah Daf what? Daf where? Oh, that was by Egan. By where? That's Daf Lamed Aleph. Sukkah Daf Lamed Aleph. Remember, who was the Tana who disagreed with everybody else? Who was the Tana who said that Lulav HaYavish is kosher? Rabbi Yehuda didn't come to Shia today. You know why? Rabbi Yehuda says, the first two Shia, Rabbi Yehuda didn't bother coming for. He comes late for his man. He says, but I have to come to the first thing. You're going to talk about Lulav HaYavish, Lulav HaYavish is kosher. The next thing you're going to invite to talk about Lulav HaYavish, invite the kosher. So Rabbi Yehuda will join us by Psulim Leachar Achayim Rishon. That's when Masechta Sukkah starts for him. That's like he missed the first couple of days of the first man, half of his man also, because we spoke about Sukkah Lamal Michof. We spoke with him in semester about Sukkah Lamal Michof. It took us till halfway through November. We were still talking about Sukkah Lamal Michof. Rabbi Yehuda wasn't Geiris, the whole Sukkah Lamal Michof. He held it's kosher. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that Lulav HaYavish is kosher. Obviously, according to a Rashi, learns Pshat and the Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Zekir Vedir was not a place of the Yevon. So it comes out a very strange thing that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham al the Shitosam in Maseches Gittin and Daf Chof, as the other Shitosam in Maseches Sukkah Daf Lamed Aleph, that this Shaila is he the mitzvah Paisa B'Dievet. So Taisa said Paisa B'Dievet never heard of such a thing. Rashi says we heard of it, but Rabbi Yehuda never heard of such a thing. So it comes out that what we're claiming is a machlekes Rashi and Taisa is he the mitzvah Paisa B'Dievet. According to Rashi Gufa, it's a machlekes what? Hatanoim. It's Rabbi Yehuda and both of Maseches Gittin Daf Chof, who hold the Sefer Torah is kosher, and Sukkah Daf Lamed Aleph, who hold the rule of kosher, notwithstanding the lack of Hidur, Rabbi Yehuda's Lishitosa. So I have one last question to ask before we go to the real thrust of what we want to talk about today. So do you really understand Rabbi Yehuda's Shita? Is he really consistent? Rabbi Yehuda on Daf Chof and Gittin says we're not concerned with Hidur Mitzvah, and therefore the Sefer Torah is okay. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda on Daf Lamed Aleph says we're not concerned with Hidur Mitzvah, and therefore he says the rule is okay. Is it really consistent, Rabbi say? Is it really a valid Shitosai? If you would come and ask Rabbi Yehuda on Daf Lamed Aleph and Sukkah, Rabbi Yehuda, I have a Lulav HaYavish, should I use it? What do you think Rabbi Yehuda would say to you? What would Rabbi Yehuda say to you? I'm about to buy Lulav and Esrog. Rabbi, can I buy this Lulav? It's Yavish. What would Rabbi Yehuda say to you? Yes. He would say yes. Who thinks Rabbi Yehuda would say yes? What? Yes! Who says Rabbi Yehuda would say no? Who says they're too embarrassed to ask Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda would say no. Of course he would say no. Why would he say no? What do you mean it's better? What do you mean better? Rabbi Yehuda denies he the mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda missed Parshas B'Shalach. He was in Florida with the rest of the Klai Yisrael. He didn't hear Parshas B'Shalach. What do you mean? Including my own kids. What do you mean? He didn't hold his Adin of the mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't subscribe to him. Other than didn't read the mitzvah. Or Rabbi Yehuda held was in the mitzvah of Aki b'di'evet, but he never said al-chadchila. So if you would ask Rabbi Yehuda and Daflam and Aleph and Sukkah, should I buy a little of a Yavish? Avadi would tell you not to. He's not as machmer as his colleagues who say even b'di'evet, you know, you'd say, but he would avadi not sanction al-chadchila. So how come in Dafchof and Gittin, Rabbi Yehuda lets you fix the Sefer Torah, but al-chadchila this way? What's the answer? I gave it away. What? Gittin Daf Chof, is that l'chadchila b'di'evet? It happened already. The guy goofed him. He was sleeping when he wrote the Shem Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda would tell you the Chachir about a Sefer Torah, which is half bold print and half light print and half dark ink and half light ink. But Rabbi Yehuda would never sanction writing a Sefer Torah like that. It looks terrible. It's a bizarion. It's a lach of Hidden Mitzvah. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lamaisa, what's your other choice? According to the Chum, what are you going to do? What do you have to do with the Sefer Torah? I have to take the whole column out, put the whole thing into Geniza. It's going to be a pain in the neck. It's going to take you another 10 hours to write over again that Amud. So Rabbi Yehuda was willing to say, since I hold that Hidden Mitzvah is only a problem, the Chachir B'di'evit, it's kosher. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, Mavelach Kumus Mekachoy. And that's called the B'di'evit, and that's all right. But the Rabbanon, the Shitosa, I'm back from Supadaf Labad Alf, who hold that Hidden Mitzvah is Ma'achah B'di'evit. B'di'evit, it's a possible B'di'evit. I don't care what it costs you. Tough luck, you got to write the whole Sefer Torah over again. It's a possible B'di'evit. What are you going to do? So Rabbi Yehuda vadels l'shitasa according to Rashi, and the Hidden Mitzvah is not ma'akev. The only reason why Rabbi Yehuda parts ways in Sukkah Lamed Aleph and doesn't advocate buying a lulav ayavesh, whereas in Gittin of Chaf he sanctions the fixing of the Sefer Torah, is because buying lulav ayavesh is l'chadchila, fixing a messed up Sefer Torah is b'di'evit. So when all the dust settles, we're still back to square one, back to Chavdes Rebeis. We've gotten nowhere so far. A day and a half of Shia, hopefully everyone enjoyed. But we've gotten nowhere in the sense of Rashi said, there's a psul b'di'evit Hidden Mitzvah. Taizot Kizoch, there's no such psul. Afir Alf disproves Rashi. And we found for Rashi Shita and Shol Maisra, Rashi and Taizvus. And we just marviach now two things. We're a marviach that according to Chassam Sofer, the Gemara in Gittin comes out that even according to Taizvus, it's possible b'di'evit. And we're also marviach that according to Rashi, we've discovered a machlokes HaTanaim between Rav Yehuda and Chachamim, which very well is much l'shitasa. So far, so good. So everybody say, let's go back now to where we're really supposed to pick up Shia, beginning to add a lashit this Rashi. I didn't say the word Rabbanu. You said Rabbanu. You and the Ritva said Rabbanu. We're going to get to tunes. So, guys, let's get Chazza back for a moment to pick up Rashi where we left off yesterday. Rashi concedes there are two dinim of Hidden Mitzvah. There's no question about that. What was the proof positive that Rashi concedes there are two dinim of Hidden Mitzvah? Who? Which two Gemaras? Rashi and Yud Aleph, the Gemara and Yud Aleph, and the Rashi and Chavtes. On Yud Aleph by Eged, it's not Ma'akib B'di'evit, it's Beferish. And Daf Chav Tes, Rashi claims it is. So there's no question there are two dinim of Hidden Mitzvah according to Rashi. We try to put some lumbish spin on it yesterday. So we said either it's a function of, is there a pagam, and characteristics is just the lack of positive beauty, or is it a chisarin, and the cheft is a chisarin, and the ma'isa. We try to put some nice, you know, lumbish yeshivish terminology in place. But there's no question there are two different aspects, whatever you want to call it. There are two kinds of Hidden Mitzvah according to Rashi. One's a real problem, and one's a significantly less of a problem. So I want to understand this idea. Where does this come from? This notion in Rashi that there are really two different kinds of Hidden Mitzvah with two very, very different results. One positive b'di'evit and one not. So in order to understand Rashi, we have to go back to that Gemara in Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph. It's such a pivotal Gemara. But the Gemara says that we who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, we hold that Eged is not really needed Mikra Din. It's only needed outside the Mitzvah, and therefore it's not Ma'agiv. So there is a remarkable statement of the Ritva on that Gemara. An eye-opener of the Ritva, those who have in the sheets and the 16th man McClamis, the Ritva and Sukkot Aleph. The Ritva says, Hakobu deraisa lo shani la bin lechachila bin diyevet. The Ritva develops a Yesoid. Yesoid HaYesoidis in the Sugya of the Mitzvah, says the Ritva. The concept of Lechatchilas and B'di'evit, it's something that we're so used to. We sail off the tip of our tongues. Oh, Lechatchila, you do it this way, B'di'evit, do it this way. A lot of people misunderstand what the word B'di'evit. What does the word B'di'evit literally mean? D'avad, it means it happened already. B'di'evit means it already happened. So there's a different type of a shaila. If I want to know, Rabbi, what do I do from here on in? Or what do I do about something that happens? So there are different standards of halacha. Sometimes people think, did you ever meet, I'm not so frum, so I can, you know, that means like, you know, I'm a different kind of a guy. I belong to a different philosophical camp, so therefore I can do things with the Evan. And I said, no, that's not right. That's not what the Evan means. Everyone lives their lives, should be living lives with halacha. And everyone sometimes has shadows of the B'di'evit. But there is a concept that Allah l'chachil b'di'evit 100,000 times in Shas, l'chachil b'di'evit. Comes through Ritva and says in one fell swoop, that concept of l'chachil b'di'evit does not exist in the dictionary of Moshe Rabbeinu. If you would ask Moshe Rabbeinu, tell me a little bit about what should I do? L'chadchir, what should I do? You have Rabbeinu look like you're crazy. Rashi Rabbeinu knows two words. Mutter asa, or two other words. Kosher posel, or two other words. Chayev potter, or two other words. Tomei tohor. We just covered all of Kol HaTarkur. Those are the only words that Moshe Rabbeinu knows how to paskin. You present the shayla, you text Moshe Rabbeinu with the shayla, he's going to answer you back, mutter asur. He's not going to answer you back, well, l'chadchili, you do it this way, but he's not going to get that message back from Moshe. It doesn't exist on a level of deraisa, says the Ritva. Kol HaShas, that's filled with l'chadchili and b'diavid, is all on a level of derabbanan. Therefore, says the Ritva, what follows from that principle is this, is that the whole institution of Hiddur Mitzvah, Hakol Mikol Kol, can never ever be deraisa. There's no such thing. If you would ask Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, these tzitzis, they're not so pretty. Can I wear them? So Moshe Rabbeinu would ask, pretty? What does that have to do with being pretty? You have to ask me, are they kosher or apostle? If they're kosher, you can wear them, l'chadchila. If they're apostle, they're apostle b'diavid. There's no such thing as the chachilism b'diavid. Therefore, the institution of Hiddur Mitzvah cannot be a deraisa. It is inconceivable for Hiddur Mitzvah to be a Torah-sanctioned concept because there is no such thing as l'chadchilas b'diavad. Since we all know that Hiddur Mitzvah is not ma'akev, it's a shteit and tzuchat daf yud alef. Memeil is l'chadchilas b'diavad, if you are forced to say Hiddur Mitzvah is only a din d'rabbanan. Ah, the Gemara, what's a pasuk? Zekel hivyan ve'el gevalt kishrigin. What's the answer? I mean, come on, give me a break. It's a smach to be alma. Now, truth to be told, the Ritva would probably tell you that things that are learned out from a smach to be alma are not just plain, simple d'rabbanans. Anyone remember we spoke about this? Famous Ritva in Masechas Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tazayin. The Ritva says that whenever the Gemara quotes a pasuk for something, if it's a din deraisa, great. But if for whatever reason it's clear from the context of the sugya that it's only a derabbanan, so why is the Gemara quote a pasuk? If it's a derabbanan, it's a derabbanan. What are you mixing us up to quoting a pasuk? So the Ritva says that the reason why Chazal quote a pasuk is because sometimes there are dinim that are alluded to in the Torah, and when the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the Torah, he wanted us to pick up his hints. He didn't tell us to do it for feirush. It wasn't an explicit command. He dropped a hint in our direction, hoping that we would pick up on the hint. And Baruch Hashem for Chazal, they picked up on the hint. And they instituted it as a formal din derabbanan. But it's what we call, as Rabbi Chanan coins the phrase, we spoke about this many times, it's the Ratzon Hashem without being the Tzivui Hashem. There's a din, says Rabbi Chanan, that you're supposed to listen to the Ratzon Hashem. How do you know what the Ratzon Hashem is? That's a whole other question. But one way of determining the Ratzon Hashem is, if you look carefully in the Chumash, if you really understand the Torah properly, you'll see that the Ribbono Shel Olam will sometimes drop us hints in between the lines, not because it's tzivui, as a smach, as a rumozim, but they're considered to be higher than a regular din derabbanan. So the Ritva would probably, the Shittosu and Rosh Hashanah Tezai, would probably tell you in Sukkot Aleph that Zeket and Deo is a nice thing that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants you to do. It's not a chi of deraisa. Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't give it to you as a psach deraisa, but if you want to know what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants of you, Masha Bekech Deresh Beimach, he'd like you to do mitzvahs in a nice way. But l'maisa, bottom line, in the world of halacha, leaving out Ratzon Aveira for a moment, in the world of pure halacha, don't take me that question out of, take me out of context. That's like a couple of years ago, we had one of the fellows put together on Purim, he put together all the quotes out of context of the entire year. He went through every shiur, and he picked every silly thing that I said, and he put made a whole shiur out of it. So all this, combined all the silly things. So that would be a good line out of there. Asher Beck would have the one, right? Forget Ratzon Aveira, right? We're just talking halacha. Forget Ratzon Aveira. It doesn't sound right. Okay. So, but in the pure world of Allah, the Ritva would say Hiddur Mitzvah is on a Mitzvah, but it cannot be a Din Deraisa. It's impossible to be a Din Deraisa. What do you think Rashi would say about this? I think Rashi would approach Hiddur Mitzvah in light of the Ritva, assuming Rashi buys into this Ritva. Assuming that Rashi is in the same camp, I don't know whether he is, but assuming Rashi is in the same camp as the Ritva, that there is no such thing as a Deraisa l'chadchila, how do you think that impacts on Rashi's sheet in Hiddur Mitzvah? Why is it that conceptually, sometimes Hiddur Mitzvah is ma'akev and sometimes it's not? So we put the fancy lingo on yesterday. God bless, chavtzis, nice and all that stuff from yesterday. But at the end of the day, what is it that's keveya, whether Hiddur Mitzvah is ma'akev or not? What's the answer? Sometimes Hiddur Mitzvah is derai, says Dr. Rashi, and sometimes Hiddur Mitzvah is onamid derabbanan. When Hiddur Mitzvah is derai, then it's taka ma'akev, because whatever is derai is ma'akev. When it's only derabbanan, that's a proof. When it's not ma'akev, that's a proof positive that it's only derabbanan. So now we just added a kedesh to Rashi. Yesterday we saw that Rashi holds sometimes the mitzvah is ma'akev, sometimes it's not. Yesterday we said two fancy lumdish reasons. How do you know which is which? Now we're adding on and saying if the Rashi buys into this Ritva, then the whole picture begins to emerge. that the reason why this phenomenon exists in halacha, that sometimes the mitzvah is ma'achiv and sometimes not, is gufa for this reason, because sometimes it's deraisa and sometimes it's onim derabanan. It's deraisa and chefts, it's deraisa when it's mumin, it's derabanan when it's ma'isa, and it's derabanan when it's not mumin, whatever the hagdars of yesterday are. But at the end of the day, the bottom line kezeya, within Shittas Rashi, what's gerim Shittas Rashi, the engine that's driving Shittas Rashi, why sometimes it's the mitzvah ma'akav, sometimes it's not, is goof for this question, is it deraisa derabanan? Of course, this is all true, and I just said for the last 5 minutes, it's all emes lamita, assuming one fact. What's the one fact? The Rashi buys into what? Into this one. I have no idea where the Rashi buys into this one. I have no clue. Quite frankly, I know there are Rishonim who don't buy into this one. I know for a fact there are Rishonim who don't buy into this one. Anyone know? Anyone figure it out from Maimon Kavis? A Rishon that does not buy into this Rishon. What? Tosis. Which Tosis? Which Tosis? Tosis in Yidus. Some guys are probably wondering why I put this Maimon Kavis on. They thought it was there by mistake. I do make mistakes in Maimon Kavis. That is true. But this one is not a mistake. This belongs in the Sugi, even though at first glance, scratching head, trying to figure out why. The Gemara in Maseches Nida talks about a principle of Hilchas Chatzitza. We know there's a halacha Moshe Messina, actually appears in the first Pech Masechus Sukkah. When a person goes to the mikvah, so there's a halacha Moshe Messina that they can't have a chatzitza, they can't have a dabra chaitza, it's on their body. The fact that you can't have a dabra chaitza is actually a pasuk. Rachas is called Besaro, Shlo Yedavar, chaitza is bin Sol, Ben Hamayim. But the halacha Moshe Messina tells us what is a chatzitza, what's not. So there are basically two components of the halacha. Who remembers? Who remembers back from Sukkah of Dalad? The sukkahs that we skipped? You need Rov and Machbid, right? So if it's on most of your body and it's a davar machbid that you really care about, it, you want to remove it. If it has both of those conditions, then it's a chatzitza deraisa. If it only has one of those conditions, then it's only a chatzitza midirabanan. And if it has neither of those conditions, then it's not a chatzitza altogether. We try to get four chatzitza, we're only taking chances. But Be'ikra did, if it has both conditions, it's deraisa, one of the others derabanan, and neither, then it's mutter. Basically, l'chatzitza Be'ikra did. When was the last time you think I got a shayla about a chatzitza deraisa and a chos tevila? What? No. Never. When do you think I'm expecting to get a shayla about a chatzitza deraisa? Never. The only way you have a chatzitza deraisa is the following. When a woman goes mudsliding, she's full of mud from head to toe, and she really, really wants to go into the shower and take off all the mud, but before that she goes to the mikvah. So that would be a chatzitza deraisa. Short of that, we could breathe a sigh of relief. It's on the Rabbanan. I didn't say mutter. It's on the, you know, we're not so from, but the Eva, the Rabbanan, everything's okay. Rabbi said, back to Esther, okay? So comes the Gemara with the Chiddush Gadol. Comes the Gemara and says that the din of chatzitza apply in what's called the Beis HaStarim, inside the woman's mouth. There's a problem with the chatzitza. Inside her eyes, chatzitza. Other parts of the body, chatzitzas. So the Gemara says, what? There's a din of chatzitza in the Beis HaStarim? Since when does she have to open up her mouth when she goes to the mikveh? There's no such thing. The water, she doesn't have to keep her eyes open. The water doesn't have to get into those places, those concealed areas of our body. Tevila is only al besara, only on the outermost part of our skin. You don't need the water to come into the middle of her mouth. She doesn't open her mouth and swallow water when she goes to the mikveh. So why can't she have a davar chaitzeitz? It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, oh, that's the way it is. Nihi delo ba'idan bias mayim. You don't need actual water to go into the base of storm, but royal bias mayim you need. And the Gemara says, what? Whoever heard of such a wild thing? What's the answer? No, come on, let's go. Come on, what's the answer? This is who? Rabbi Zeira, I'm a Rabbi Zeira. Let's all say it together. Come on. Kol haroy labila in bila mea kevesburg, kashi inroy labila bila mea kevesburg. Okay? All right, you should say that in your sleep. You should be able to say that. Not sleeping in the middle of Shia, I mean, you're sleeping in the. Not during Seder either, but sleeping at night, preferably. Okay, so Rabbeisai says the Gemara, just as we find in Hilchos Menachos, there's a din, that when you bring a korban mincha, you have to mix the flour and the oil together, right? Belul of a shemen. And what if you didn't mix it together? No, but the Eved, the korban, the mincha is still kosher. And what if it was impossible to mix, because you had 100 pounds of flour and 1 spoon of oil, you weren't able to mix it. Even if you tried to mix it, it wouldn't mix properly. So then, and only then, the Gemara says, then the minchas psula b'di'evet. So the Gemara says, what kind of din is it? Doesn't make any sense. Do you have to do bila or not have to do bila? So the Gemara says, well, kind of, maybe. You don't really have to do bila, but you do require what's called ro'oi, lo'at, ro'oi l'bila. It's not ro'oi l'bila, bila my campus. So the Gemara makes this equation in Maseches Nida. So just as you need a ro'oi l'bila, so do you need ro'oi So you can't have a bone stopping your teeth when you go to the mikvah. But lemaisa, if your mouth is clean inside, there's no need to open up your mouth. As I state in the Gemara, neither feirush. There's a din alach lemaisa from adiyem is it. Now what's kasher, by say? What's face kasher? What's wrong with this equation? My bad with this equation.
You're still supposed to be
bila, but you don't have to. This equation is not correct. What am I talking about? When it comes to bila, if I come to the kohen to Beis Hamikdash, I bring my cup full of flour, my cup full of oil, I ask him, Mr. Cohen, what should I do? Should I mix the two together? So what do you think he's going to say? He's going to say, nah, you don't have to, because it's royal bila, it's okay. That's what he's going to say. I have to get another kohen. What's he going to say? Say the chumash, b'lul b'shem rabbi, you're supposed to mix it together. When the woman comes to the mikveh, and she asks the mikveh attendant, am I supposed to open up my mouth under the water? What did she say? What are you, crazy? You want a mouth? You want to choke on the chlorine water? You know, just opens the mouth under the mikveh. So what's the difference, Estesis? If you really believe that these dinim are the same, so just as by roi lebila, lechatchila you have to do bila, and then b'diyevi you have to have roi lebila. So the dinim chatzita should be patterned perfectly after that and say that lechatchila you have to do b'yasmayim, b'diyevi as long as it's roi b'yasmayim. So how come the two halachas part ways? So Tosfos in Maseches Nitan Daf Samach Vav gives us the following yesod. V'yeshloimar. Listen to this Tosfos. This is like Mamash Mamash. Here's the Tosfos. The Ein Svara Gabe Tvila Shlohik Pida Torah Ela Sheyitah Adam. The Ein Loimet Lechatchil Liboy. The Kev the B'diavet Torah Lechatchil Nami Liboy V'talo Tvila. Of our bilan and Tosfos. Other examples of mitzvahs. Dinu Hilchah Lechatchil Yavad. No. What did Tosfos just say? Tosfos just drew a distinction in halacha between bringing a korban mincha and going to the mikvah. What's the difference? Give me halachic lingo. Give me halachic terminology. One's a what? One's a what? One's a mitzvah. One's a batia. Korban mincha is a mitzvah. Going to the mikvah is a matia. The ma'isa tefillah is not really what the Torah cares about. What does the Torah care about? It cares about the what? It doesn't care about the action. It cares about the what? The result. The Rabban Shlom Chachmoso gave us this concept that the only way you can become Tohor is by going to a mikvah. So I have to do a Maisa Tvila in order to become Tohor. But at the end of the day, the Maisa Tvila is not really the key. The key is becoming Tohor. That's it. This is the mechanism to become Tohor. But the result, the end goal, the result is really what matters. And therefore, Taisa says, if at the end of the day, when you walk out of that mikvah, the mikvah attendant says, Tahora, so that's all. I accomplished Tahora. What am I partly? What's Shaykh to say, Lechatchila? Go to the mikvah this way. Lechatchila. What do you mean, Lechatchila? Will I get the psak of Torah or not? If I get the final word, Tahor, it doesn't matter how I got there. There's no such empty, there's no such concept as Lechatchila by a matir, because it's all result, goal oriented. Other by mitzvahs. What does the Rebbeinu Shalom want by bringing a korban mincha? He wants me to take flour and oil and do bila, bring it to the Beis Hamikdash, bring it to the korban. He wants the ma'isa korban mincha. So within the ma'isa korban mincha, there are different standards. You could be really, really religious and do it properly and mix your flour and your oil and do bila, kedas, chedin, like the Rebbeinu Shalom asked of you. Or you could be lazy and not so observant. And said, well, you know, it's okay with the evidence anyway. You know, I'm in a rush. I got other things to do today. As long as it's kosher that day, so b'diavad it's kosher. If it's royal bila, it's kosher b'diavad. Zoy state in the din, it's kosher b'diavad. Aber was your mitzvah hakrovas hakrobi mincha lechachila day? So what do you see from Tosfos? That Tosfos does not agree to the Ritva. Tosfos meets the Ritva halfway by matir, but that's not what the Ritva said. The Ritva said it by mitzvah, the Ritva said it by lulav. Lulav is a mitzvah, not a matir. So Tosfos disagrees with the Ritva. Tosfos holds that even by mitzvahs, but mitzvahs it is shayach lechatchila d'oraisa. Then Tosfos goes on to a very important topic. Now Yevamos topic about where does chalitza fit into this picture? Because the Gemara does have lechatchilas by chalitza d'oraisa. So Tosfos claims that's a proof positive that chalitza is a mitzvah, not a matzah, which is again a whole fascinating discussion. Not for now. So when all the dust settles, Rabbi Say, we're still learning Rashi. We're just learning shit this Rashi. That's it. Today's Rashi. Yesterday was Rashi. Tomorrow probably be Rashi. Rashi says in Sukkot Chavtes and Rebbeis that hid the mitzvahs machi b'diavad. So we already proved that it's not always true. It's an overstatement. Rashi sometimes concedes here the mitzvah is only lechatchila. That's back in the Sugya Daf Yud Aleph. So we suggested that the reason is Rashi buys into the Ritva, that sometimes the mitzvah is lechatchila, sometimes it's b'diavad, because sometimes it's deraisa, sometimes it's derabanan. But again, Rashi is not married to this Ritva. We have no idea whether Rashi agrees to this Ritva. And we have precedents in other Rishonim, we have places that for sure didn't buy into this Ritva. So again, it's a nice theory to say Rashi holds like the Ritva, to dinim and deraisa, but it's nice. But muchach, it's not. We don't have any indication that Rashi holds this, like this Ritva. Somebody said, can we elaborate a little bit more on Rashi? Take Rashi at least to the next level. So Rashi is telling us that two kinds of the mitzvahs, whether one's deraisa, one's derabanan, one's maisa, one's chepta, all the agdars we have, but in all the dust, doesn't matter what spin you put in Rashi, there are two kinds of hidden mitzvahs. But I want to raise a chakira about hidden mitzvah, fundamental chakira, perhaps the fundamental chakira about hidden mitzvah, and see how this impacts on Shittas Rashi. Yesh lachor, what is the nature of this institution of hidden mitzvah? Is hidden mitzvah a mitzvah b'fnei atzma? It's an independent thing the Torah wants us to do. The Torah wants us to put on tzitzis, and to put on tefillin, and to sit in the sukkah, and to shake a mulut. And the Torah also wants of us to do mitzvahs in generally in a nice way. There's a new mitzvah called Zekeli V'Andreyu. So I get brownie points for two mitzvahs. When I sit in a beautiful sukkah, so I have Yaitib and sukkah station of Yamim, and Hini Mukhabzum Moshe mitzvah Zekeli V'Andreyu. I mean, I don't mean that literally, but you get my point. They're two different mitzvahs. Or do I say no? There's no mitzvah of Zekeli V'Andreyu. What does Zekeli V'Andreyu, everybody say? What is it? It's not a mitzvah for the after, is it? It's a kiyum in the mitzvah of sukkah, lulav, tzitzis, shayf, whatever the mitzvah is. It's a greater fulfillment of that mitzvah gufa. It becomes part and parcel of that mitzvah itself. It's not a separate pazundara kiyum, a separate distinct mitzvah. It enhances the mitzvah that I'm doing right now. So you have two guys put on tefillin. They both were yaitzeh the mitzvah of tefillin, but one fellow was yaitzeh tefillin b'hidura, and the other one was yaitzeh tefillin shalai b'hidura. So what exactly is hidden mitzvah? Is hidden mitzvah a separate, distinct category? Or is hidden mitzvah part and parcel of the mitzvah proper? So if I say, within Shittas Rashi, that hidden mitzvah is a ma'akev b'di'eved, what do you think that indicates to us about the nature of hidden mitzvah? Hidden mitzvah is going to impact on the mitzvah of lulav. Hidden mitzvah, if it's done in a miserable way, is going to impact on the mitzvah of Sefer Torah. Hidden mitzvah, if it's done in a gefelich way, if lacking in a terrible way, so it could potentially disqualify your tzitzis. So common to common mitzvah, the hidden mitzvah can ruin the mitzvah for you. What kind of halach is that? Tell me, which way is Rashi clearly saying? It's clearly part of the mitzvah itself. If you tell me that hidden mitzvah doesn't address the mitzvah itself, hidden mitzvah is a separate din of zekeli v'andreyu, so it makes no sense to say, I take a lulav ayavesh, according to Rashi, you want a yaitzei lulav. Why? Because they're killing veil. I was yaitzei lulav, I wasn't yaitzei what? I wasn't yaitzei, they're killing veil. Who cares? I want to be yaitzei lulav today. It's killing veil. I'll be yaitzei with nice chalak and kelim 2 months from now. From the fact that Rashi says, you want yaitzei lulav. You made a brach of a tala and kudus lulav, your lulav is puzzle, because they're killing veil. It's clear as day from Rashi that Zekeli V'Andreyu speaks to the mitzvah itself. It's part and parcel of the etzim of mitzvah. It's not a bazundar. Keep that separate distinct view. Part of the mitzvah proper. However, even though it's clear from Rashi that hidden mitzvah is part of the mitzvah proper, is that always true? What could be? What could the reality be? Could it sometimes be a separate and distinct kiyum? Absolutely. And therefore, in those areas where we happen to find that it's not ma'akev b'di'eved, now we know Rashi has documented already on Daf Yud Aleph that there's sometimes hidden mitzvah is not ma'akev, perhaps the lumdus in why it's not ma'akev is why? What's the lumdus in why he does not ma'akev? Because in those areas, it's not a kiyum in the mitzvah proper. In those areas, it's a separate kiyum. So we have a whole new approach now. A whole new set of words to describe why this phenomenon exists. How do you explain Rashi of Chavtes that says Hidus Ma'akev and Rashi of Yidav that the Gemara says Beferish is not Ma'akev? So we thought it has something to do with Mises and Chavtes and stories. There are Isis, there are Abadis. Now we have a new twist of words. Again, this all may be the same. They all may point in the same direction. sometimes either mitzvah licked in the mitzvah proper, and that may be the reason why it's possible. Whereas sometimes either mitzvah something minachutz, and therefore it's not going to possible. So we need a little bit more work on this. We're guessing this within Rashi. We're sticking this into Rashi and the Chavtes. The Rashi Shita is, Rashi's taking a stand on this Chakira, that Hidur is a part of the mitzvah, Chelak, Be'a mitzvah, or Kiyum, Bifnei Atzmai. So we're saying that Rashi is putting himself into the category of Chelak Be'a mitzvah, and therefore it passes. But now we're guessing that in cases where it doesn't pass, maybe Rashi concedes that's in fact not part of the mitzvah itself. Correct. Right. So what you just said is the first day of geometry. Right? What do I mean by that? Who's going to, I never remember what those terms are. Who remembers converse, reverse, contrapposite? Who remembers? What do those things mean? No. What?
Converse.
Converse. Okay. And therefore what? What did he do?
A doesn't mean B.
No, no, no. Yeah, something like that. Okay. Man, I see. You got it. For me, it's been almost 40 years since the geometry. You guys have been like less than 10 years. What you mean to say is as follows. Okay, I'm going to tell you what you mean to say. And if you don't, so then you're going to then get to tell me that's what you meant to say. What you mean to say is like this, that just because it's you hold that it's a din in the mitzvah itself doesn't necessarily mean that it's possible to be eved. But if it's possible to be eved, that is a proof that it must be a din in the din itself. That's what you meant, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know the hearts of the Talmidim to really understand what they really want. Okay, Rabbi, so I get back to that story. So we need a little bit more work, because we have to go through Shas a little bit more and understand where else do we find Hidur Mitzvah that may shed some light on this discussion. Where else do we find Hidur Mitzvah that may be part of the din itself, may not be part of the din itself? Is Rashi consistent? Is Rashi inconsistent? So we're testing a theory now. Now we're in the lab, okay? So now we have class, now we're in the lab part of this. This year, we're going out to the lab and we want to test our hypothesis. Just checking things, okay? It's been the same many years since geometry is from chemistry, okay? We're testing our hypothesis now. Our hypothesis is that according to Rashi, there are two dinim of Hidur Mitzvah. One is part of the mitzvah itself. One is a separate kiyum. And ultimately, the litmus test, a little more chemistry, and the litmus test for how do you know whether we're dealing with something that's a din in the mitzvah itself, whether it's a separate kiyum, is a ma'akev or not. That would be, so if it shows up on the piece of paper, puzzle, if that's the color that shows up as puzzle, so that's going to prove to us beyond the shadow of a doubt, thus is a kiyum in the mitzvah proper. That's a chilek in the mitzvah itself. If it shows up kosher, that's a proof positive that it's a kiyum b'fnei atzmai. That's what we're testing now. That's our hypothesis. That's where we have to go to the lab. So where do we go? Everybody say, which laboratory do we go to? What? Shabbos, right? Masechah Shabbos. Madaf. On daf. Kuf Lama Gimel. Okay? So comes the Gemara and Shabbos. Have to familiarize ourselves with the sugya for a moment to understand, to appreciate. This becomes the pivotal part of that entire discussion. Comes the Gemara and Shabbos. Kuf Lama Gimel. Days Hamal. Anyone who ever went to a bris on Hanukkah has heard this drasha. Okay? Because, I mean, if the father's a barachi, if they give a shtickle Torah, this is what he's going to give. I mean, there are certain drushes that you just know you're going to hear. You go to a bar mitzvah during Sfira, where the kid's going to get up and talk about whether if you start counting with a brach, can you continue without a brach, you know that's happening, okay? The kid, you know, father gets up at bris and chanukah, this is what you're going to hear. It's just, that's just the way things are, okay? So, Beisai, Hamal, Kozmanchu Isaac Bemila, Chayze Ben al Tzitzin Ma'akvar Sabila, Ben al Tzitzin Ma'akvar Sabila. So the Mayel did the job, but didn't quite finish the job. And the Mishnah tells us at the end of the 19th Beppo Shabbos, there were different degrees of not finishing the job. He left behind some strands, some pieces of flesh in that area. So some parts of the oil were not removed. So it depends how much. If it's a very, very small amount, so it's called a titan she'ema afen sebilah. If it's a larger amount, and the Gemara has intricate details, what's called a larger amount, that's potentially titan afen sebilah. So sometimes the kid is still in oil, sometimes not. So the Braisa says the Mayel did the job, Kozmanshu Osim, and he's still there. He's still holding on to the knife. He's still touching things up. He hasn't quite finished yet. So then he should go back and fix up the job, no matter what he left behind. If he left Tzitzit Ma'akvin, he'd better go back. If he left even Tzitzit Shein Ma'akvin, he should go back. But Piresh, what if he finished the job already? What does it mean to finish the job? That's a whole tricky question also. What does it mean finish the job? Does finish the job mean he put the knife down? Finish the job means he finished the priya, finish the job means he finished the mitzitza. Very unclear. Big machlekes in the Rishonim. What exactly finish the job means? Whatever it means. Whatever Piresh means, it means. So he finished the job. So now, al tzitza na ma'akvah nesamilo, oi vei gavalt chayzer. He better go back. If not, well, we should fire him. The kid's in oral still, so he better go back and fix up the job. Al tzitza jayin ma'akvah nesamilo, oi na chayzer. Oh, but if it's just tzitza jayin ma'akvah nesamilo, nah. No. Don't go bother going back. Go and do it. The Moyle's eating his bagel already. He's got his locks on the bagel already. He's all ready to go. Why? You can just go back. Come on, forget it. The kid's mole already. But the evidence is good anyway. He's not so religious anyway. It's good. But the evidence is good. It's right. It's fine. He does have to go back. So, Piresh. I'm sorry, low Piresh. If you go back. But if it's Piresh, then not so bad. You don't have to go back. What in the world is the Gemara talking about? So, Rashi has only one word that's pivotal, critical. Rashi is Hamal b'Shabbos. The entire sugya is talking about Shabbos. How did Rashi know that? The Gemara doesn't say Shabbos. How did Rashi know Shabbos? How did Rashi know the Gemara talk about Shabbos? Perek B'Lo, the Mila happens to be talking about meals on Shabbos, but there are dinim in there that are interspersed with talk about regular meals also. So how did Rashi know? The Gemara doesn't say a word. How did Rashi know? Rashi, the Halakha Rashi gives you one word. How did Rashi figure that out? The Mishnah is okay. Yeah, the Mishnah, you're right. It means the context. You want to say Rashi learned it from context. Okay, maybe. Textual proof. I want a halachic proof. It's obvious as Rashi. What in the world is the Braisa telling you? Don't go back. You did a terrible job. I know it's not ma'ake, but it's still not nice. It doesn't look right. So Rashi says, I don't understand. If it's low piresh, then you have to go back. Because that shows that we want this job to be done properly. That's the stuff that's in the mitzvah. So if you're going back with the mitzvah, so then why don't you go back if you're eating your bagel? So finish it. Drop the bagel. Go back, finish the brisket, and eat the bagel later. So Rashi said, that's a bomb kasha. So you're correct. Actually, it sounds that way, but even more textually, conceptually, it's nuchach mineu basis, Rashi. The Braisa must be talking about Shabbos. It doesn't say it. It's a poshut. Move on, Me'ilav, and talk about Shabbos. Otherwise, there's no way to explain why you're not going back for. Just because you're having your bagel, you don't go back. How about you go back? But of course, the Braisa doesn't say Shabbos. And therefore, we know in the back of our minds, if Rashi was compelled to stick in that word Shabbos, we know in the back of our minds that there could be other Rishonim who weren't as compelled. And in fact, didn't interpret the Braisa that way. Which great Rishon clearly did not interpret the Braisa that way? Rambam. How do I know that? I know that from two Rambams. The Rambam in the 11th of the Maamar Kamis. Hamal, calls Ban Isaac Bamila Chayza Ben Atitzin Ma'akvin Ben Atitzin Ma'akvin. Pirish Atitzin Ma'akvin Chayza Atitzin Ma'akvin Chayza. That's the Rambam Perek Beis Lo Chadala. The Rambam just quoted verbatim the Braisa. How do I see anything about the Rambam? How do I know what the Rambam said? Maybe the Rambam also didn't bother saying Shabbos, the same way the Braisa said it was obvious. So the Rambam didn't bother putting it in either. So the emphasis from the 11th of the Maamar Kamis, I can't tell, but from context I can tell, because in Halacha, in Maamar Kamis number 12, which is the Rambam Perek Beis Halacha Vav, which happens to be Vav is two letters after Dalet, just the Chazar, okay? In Halacha Dalet, the Rambam taught us the din of Hazman, Amal Chazman, Sha'isi, Vimi, etc. Chazin, Achazin. In Halacha Vav, the Rambam opens up by telling us, Osin Kotzach Emil B'Shabbos. It is not until Halacha Vav that the Rambam even taught us the Rambam, as we've said so many times, is not just the Talmid Chacham, Pesik par excellence, he is the organizer par excellence also. The Rambam took the entire body of Tereshi Baal Peh from all over the place, from Shishas to the Mishnah, from the Gemaras, from the Yerushalmis, from the Sefras, from the Chutz, from our Tereshi Baal Peh. It was all over, mamish all over the place. The Gemaras all over the place. And he took it and he organized it. And he broke it down into svarim, into halachas, into prokim, subcategories of halachas. Everything is perfect. Mamish, organization skills, a low human key support. The Rambam didn't have any what? Didn't have any computers. Didn't have anything. He had two things. He had a pen. I can't even say he had paper. He didn't have a pen or anything that looked like this. I can't say he had a paper that looked like this. That's it. And the Rambam took kola terakula, and wrote, organized it. You know what the computer was for the Rambam? He had one computer better than all the computers in the world. You know what it was? That was his computer. He had it all in his head. So Rabbi said, Yerida Sadairus. Now the Rabbi Shalom, in our generation, Rabbi Shalom had to give us the gift of computers. Because there's such Yerida Sadairus, this Chalish Sadas, in terms of our understanding, our Havana Sadairus, Rabbi Shalom had Rachmanus on us, and he gave us computers. So we could look up Mamakamus, rattle up Mamakamus, look like we know Kol Tarakula like that. But people who really knew Kol Tarakula, they didn't need computers. Okay, Rabbi said, getting back to this story. So comes the Rambam, in Halacha Dalit, quotes the Braisa, and doesn't get around to Allah Chavav to tell us what. I was not making fun of the guys in computers. I just share my thoughts. That's all. Not until Allah Chavav does the Rambam introduce the din of being Deicha Shabbos. Zevin from Duff and Rambam, what? From the organizational skills of the Rambam. Allah Chavav was not even talking about Shabbos, talking about Tuesday. And the Rambam still said, what? If you finish the job, don't bother going back. You don't have to go back. Why not? Why don't you have to go back? It's still important. Why don't you have to go back? The guy's eating his bagel. So if he asks Rashi, here's the moil. Imagine, what a chosh of a bris. There's Rashi's at the bris, and Ram's at the bris. So the poor moil, he goofed. He didn't do the tzitzin sh'enim achven. He's in the middle of his base. He's got his locks on. He's got his cream cheese on. His mom, she's making a whole spread there. And I got valdke shregin. I forgot to fix this mila. What do I do? So Rashi says, what do you do? Drop the bagel and go. And Ram says, finish the bagel, and then go home. Don't even bother fixing it. There's nothing to bother fixing. The Ram holds that. Piresh and a chayza fila b'chol. What's the nekudas of machlokes in Rashi and the Rambam? The Rambam's mamish pelagol. Why don't you have to go fix the bila? So there is a biur that started with the Beis Halevi, went through several gilgulim, made it to the Briskurov, and then it reappears in a little bit more of a more contemporary sefer in the Mishnas Yavetz. Not the Briskurov, it's also contemporary. Mishnas Yavetz, Rav Zsolti. And I'm going to quote it from the Mishnas Yavetz, even though the roots are all back from the world of Brisk, but the Mishnas Yavetz, Kedaka B'Kedesh, he has such a beautiful, easy, simple style. So if you want to take a look, he puts the whole piece of what's flying around in Brisk in different shapes and forms and different Gilgulim. So he puts it all into one piece together. So Rav Zsolti in Mishnas Yavetz said that the root of the machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam is really a Hiddur Mitzvah issue. According to the Rambam, you know why you don't have to bother going back? Why not? The bris looks terrible. Go back. No, you don't have to bother. It's a waste of time. You know why? Why is it a waste of time, according to the Rambam, to go back? Because what have you finished? You did the mitzvah already. The meal is over. What do you go back for? Says the Beis Halevi, Brisk Rav, Shashavit. According to the Rambam, you can't separate the Hidur from the Guf HaMitzvah. It's inconceivable to separate the Hidur from the Guf HaMitzvah. Because what Hidur Mitzvah is a kiyum in the Yetzim HaMitzvah. So kol zman you're doing the Mitzvah, it's shayach to be mahadir the Mitzvah. If the Mitzvah's over and you want to come back 6 months later to be mahadir, the Mitzvah's done already. It's registered in Shemayim. Once it was already signed, sealed, and delivered in Shemayim already. The meal is over. You're going to go ahead and do a Hiddur Mitzvah out of context. There's no shaychas to do a Hiddur Mitzvah out of context. And therefore the Rambam says, don't waste your time. It's not nice to the baby. It's an Issur Chavol Deraisa. You're not going to make a kid bleed for no reason. You're not accomplishing anything, so therefore don't do it. Bein v'chol bein b'shabbos. That's the Rambam Shita. The Rambam's predicated on the assumption that you cannot separate between the Hiddur and the Etzem HaMitzvah. Abi Rashi, who didn't learn the Rambam's Pshat, Rashi, who felt compelled to add the one word B'Shabbos. Why did Rashi add B'Shabbos? Why conceptually? Why did Rashi say B'Shabbos? Who told me this? Johnny, told me this? I remember. Who told me this? Didn't you tell me this? And Shia, I forgot. Somebody in the middle in that place said. No. Why? Why did Rashi feel compelled? What was the engine that was driving Rashi to say B'Shabbos? Because with the bagel, drop the bagel and go fix the baby. Aye, but the mitzvah's over. What shaykh to mahad, the mitzvah's over. What's the answer? What shaykh? The answer is the shaykh. Why is it shaykh? Why does it make sense? Why is it conceivable and true according to Rashi to be mahad a mitzvah after the mitzvah's over? What's the answer? Because the only thing that prevented us from being mahadra mitzvah after the mitzvah is over, what compelled the Rambam to say that it's not shaykh to have hid the mitzvah and out of the context of the mitzvah, is because the Rambam held that hid the mitzvah is a what? Is a what? Is a what? Is a new? Is a what? According to the Rambam, it's a what? Chelik me mitzvah itself. So you can't separate between the two. But Rashi holds it's not a kiyum in the mitzvah proper, it's a zekel v'yondayu. Great. So at 8 o'clock in the morning, I was yotze the mitzvah milah, and after my bagel's over at 10 o'clock, I'm going to be yotze zekel v'yondayu. But wasn't it? Why can't I be yotze zekel v'yondayu out of the context of the mitzvah itself? According to the Rambam, once the mitzvah's milah registered, it's not shach to mahad, the mitzvah doesn't exist anymore. According to the Rashi, I was yotze the mitzvah, now I'm going to be yotze the hiddur. Why does there have to be a tziruf between the two? Why is that tzva'akir b'dihem? What's that critical? That's be a tzif. It's a separate kiyum.
Why can't we say that according to the Rambam, it's also a separate mitzvah, but it only applies when the other mitzvah, when you have the original mitzvah in play.
Why is that mecha teis? Is it kelimeo? I was yotzei tefillin now, but yotzei talos later.
When you hit the mitzvah, it's a separate mitzvah, even when it comes to bris milah. However, it only applies when you're doing the bris.
I'm doing zekel v'meo. L'shem yichud kutshe bricha deskinu him. L'shem mitzvah
zekel. You don't have to say that it's part of the original. That it's
according to Rashi, Rama, where are you?
According to the Rambam,
why can't I be yotze? It can't be in vain now, lady. I was yotze mila today, and I'll be yotze in vain tomorrow. I put on tzitzis yesterday, I put on tzitzis tomorrow.
When you have that in
your mitzvah.
Lama? Because you're beautifying what?
Is that kid
in vain?
Zekem beautify the Baruch Shalom. Zekem in vain. Maybe. In Bris, they didn't say. Note Rabbi say. Here's the Mishnah Yavis' view. And now, there's something else that emanates from this Machlokes Rashi and Rambam. There's a dual Machlokes Rashi and Rambam. The immediate Machlokes that meets the eye we just saw, that's the Machlokes, can you have a Hiddur without a Kiyum, without the mitzvah proper? But there's a secondary underlying Machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam in the Sugya. What is that? I want to ask you an independent Shaila. Certain mitzvahs are derech Shabbos. Mila b'yom shmini happens to be one of them. Yom shmini, yom shmini b'Shabbos. When we say that mila is derech Shabbos, what about the hiddur of mila? Is that derech Shabbos? Can I get up and do a malacha d'rais in Shabbos, not to fulfill the mitzvah of mila, just to fulfill a hiddur of mila? Can I do that or not? What do you think the answer is? Before you see Rashi, what do you think conceptually the answer to that question is? What does it depend on? Depends on this. If you hold that heder is ultimately part of the mitzvah itself, so when the Torah said yimol b'sar losa yimol yom hashmini afilu b'shabbos, so anything that's called the mitzvah mila is derech Shabbos. So if heder becomes nichol in the mitzvah mila, it's also derech Shabbos. If you hold that it's called zeker, it's a different the mitzvah b'fnei hatzma, it's a kiyum b'fnei hatzma. Zeker v'veh was not from one of the mitzvahs that's derech Shabbos. Mila is derech Shabbos. The chlepish is derech Shabbos. The tzibur is not. There are a lot of mitzvahs that are derech Shabbos. Zeker v'veh happens not to be one of them. So if you hold it, it's a separate mitzvah, it's not going to be Derech HaShabbos. No? So what's the answer to the sugya now? In Shabbos, Kufam and Gimel. Is he the mitzvah Derech HaShabbos or not? What do you think? What do you think? Is he the mitzvah Derech HaShabbos? According to Rashi, is he the mitzvah Derech HaShabbos? Absolutely not, right? Because Rashi holds, being chayzer, even though you're a pirish, is called Hidu Mitzvah. Proof positive, Rashi says on Tuesday you have to go and do it. So you have to drop your bagel and lox on Tuesday, but you don't have to drop the cholent on Shabbos. Why? So the answer is because Rashi holds here the mitzvah is great, wonderful, gevaldik, but it's not the Chashabbos. So it's mucha from the way Rashi said, the one word Rashi is one word of Rashi, four letters, bishabbos. It's clear as day from Rashi that he the mitzvah is not the Chashabbos because it exists on Tuesday and it's not the Chashabbos. What about according to the Rambam? Is he the mitzvah Chashabbos according to the Rambam? We have no way of knowing according to the Rambam because the Rambam holds the only reason why you don't do it on Shabbos is because you don't do it when also. You don't do it on Tuesday also. So perhaps the Rambam didn't want to learn Rashi's Pshat. Perhaps the Rambam veered away from Rashi's Pshat because the Rambam thought, well, if the mitzvah is Derech HaShabbos, then the Hid is Derech HaShabbos. So therefore, the Rambam is looking at the same Gemara as Rashi. Everyone's looking at the same Gemara. Rashi's sitting in France, the Rambam's sitting in Egypt. They're both looking at the same piece of Gemara. And they're both looking at it and say, wait a second. Why aren't you going back? So Rashi says, you're not going back because it's what? One word. Why are you not going back? Shabbos! And according to the Rambam, why are you not going back?
You know, the other
Because it's what? Because you don't go back, because it's not a hidden mitzvah. But in Tzilderim, you would have gone back on Tuesday, says Dr. Rambam, you would have gone back on Shabbos also. So it comes out that there's a dual machlekes Rashi and Rav. There's a multiple machlekes Rashi and Rav. Rabbi say, Rashi and Rav, this is all the shittosim. There are two issues that they're arguing about. They're issuing about, number one, can you have a hidur achar gemar ha-mitzvah? That's issue number one. So according to the Rashi, is it shayach to have hidur achar gemar ha-mitzvah? What's the answer according to Rashi? Can you have hidur achar gemar ha-mitzvah? What's the answer? Yeah. Absolutely, that's where you dropped your bagel. According to the Rambam, inconceivable. Second, is hidur deiches Shabbos? What's the answer? According to Rashi, is it deiches Shabbos? Absolutely not, because Rashi says you drop your bagel, but you don't drop your what? Cholent, right? If it's on Shabbos, you wouldn't drop your cholent. Because Rashi holds hidur mitzvah not deiches Shabbos. According to the Rambam, is hidur mitzvah deiches Shabbos? Absolutely. If you would have dropped your bagel, you would have had to drop your cholent. But since you don't drop your bagel, you don't drop your cholent either. If a guy was never in a shir, I just heard that one, I wouldn't know what I'm talking about. But you got what I'm talking about, right? So according to the Rambam, is hidur deiches Shabbos? Absolutely. This dual machlokes is Rashi, and the Rambam is all the shittasim, and all emanates from here. That if you hold that, Rashi's basic fundamental shitta is what? What does Rashi hold? That hidur is a what? Is a kiyum b'fnei atzmai, and therefore what, Rabbi say? Since it's a kiyum b'fnei atzmai, therefore it's shayach after the mitzvah, and therefore it's not deiches Shabbos. The kiyum there is not a mitzvah of deiches Shabbos. The Rambam holds it's a, what was the phrase we used? Chelek mehamitzvah, and therefore the Rambam holds that it's not shaykh after the Gemara mitzvah, it's not independent to him, but yes, if and when it existed, in fact, they're Hashemis. So, state and sheet the Rambam. So, everybody said this is clear as day. This is the machlokes Rashi and Rambam, no question about it. All derived from two things. Rashi's one word b'Shabbos, and the Rambam's placing of the two halachas. We create a whole shir klali based on two pieces of information. Rabbi say, does this bode well for Shittas Rashi? We just put Rashi on the team of those who say that Hidur is a kiyum b'fnei atzmai. That doesn't bode well for Rashi where? We're learning Sukkah, we're not learning Shabbos, we're learning Sukkah. And Rashi is the one who said that Lulva Yavish is possible, which makes Hidur mitzvah a what? A cherek meha mitzvah. What's the answer, Rabbi say? What do you mean, what kind of situation? Is it totally on what kind of hidur we're talking about? What kind of hidur mitzvah you meant to say? We're talking about what kind of hidur mitzvah we're talking about. The hidur mitzvahs of the Araisas, the hidur mitzvahs of Sula, the hidur mitzvahs that really, really matter, become part and parcel of what? The kiyum mitzvah. The hidurs that are not so critical, and what's an example? Give me an example of hidur that's not so critical. Give me an example, Rabbi Say. Give me a good hidur that's not really so bad. What? Give me another one. Sitten she'ein ma'akvin, shmom kishmom kenu. They're not ma'akiv. Sitten she'ein ma'akvin are an example of hidur mitzvah. Sitten she'ein ma'akvin is like eged luluf. That's the equation of today. Just as eged luluf is not so serious, and therefore it's not part of the mitzvah proper, and it doesn't passel, so to sitten she'ein ma'akvin are not part of the mitzvah, they don't passel. So you have to go back to chol avada. You have to go back to Shabbos. You're not allowed to go back on Shabbos. It's not the Shabbos. So we've elaborated upon Shittas Rashi that there are two parts of hidur mitzvah. So we've described two parts of hidur mitzvah, either being ma'aser versus ma'aser mitzvah versus the cheftza versus mumin versus non-mumin. We've discussed it in terms of their isis, their abundance, and now I put a whole new spin on it. Is it part of the mitzvah, not part of the mitzvah? So at first glance, we have a steer between two Rashis. Rashi and Chavtes, and Sukkah against Rashi, Kufan, Gim, and Shabbos, a slice of each other. The one place Rashi is saying it's part of the mitzvah, one place Rashi is saying it's not part of it. The answer is no, it's not true. It's a briskevar. There are two dinim, there are two kinds of hidur mitzvahs. L'shitas Rashi. Hope that Shem tomorrow we have to take this machlokes Rashi and Tosfos now take it to the next level, because this issue that we raised, where the hidur mitzvah is deiches Shabbos, is a pivotal question, and there is a Gemara that says something about this, albeit not a Masechta Shabbos or a Pesukah, but rather Menachos. Hope that Shem tomorrow.